The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to worship on this snowy January Sunday. It's good to see you here, despite the little bit of snow that we have outside. There are some announcements in the bulletin that I would draw your attention to. Today is Baptism of the Lord. It's also the day we will celebrate a baptism, and we will also remember our own baptisms. In the fellowship hall, after worship, you're invited to sign the We Were Here paper that is on the lectern as a reminder to the Graver family that you were here and you were witnesses and part of Evelyn's baptism. So please do that after worship. There are some other announcements in your bulletin. Meetings that are happening this week. Session will be meeting Tuesday evening. Elders, your read-ahead packets are available in the tower room, so please take a moment and pick those up after worship so that you can be prepared for Tuesday evening's meeting. There is also still the Christmas tree up in the fellowship hall. During the month of January, we will be collecting socks and underwear for Community Cares and for Safe Harbor. You can see the sizes here in the bulletin that are especially needed. The men's sizes, medium to extra large, are especially needed by Community Cares, and the women's and toddler sizes are especially needed by Safe Harbor. So if you're out at Walmart or Target or wherever else and you see things that are available, please take a moment and purchase something and bring it in, hang it on the Christmas tree so that we can once again help some of the most vulnerable members in our community. There is finally on the back of your insert information about the Lenten devotional. We have been doing Advent or Lenten devotionals, depending on the year, and 2019 is the year for the Lenten devotional. If you're on the email list, you received an email about that this week. The sign-up sheets are in the fellowship hall, available for you to sign up for a day, and there are scriptures available for you to use in writing a short devotional. The information is here on this sheet when those devotionals are due into the church office so that we can put it together into the book and make it available for everyone at the beginning of Lent. And if you are a little unsure about what to write or what it might look like, there are sample pages from an earlier devotional that Debbie provided. She even wrote it as well. This is from 2017. So you can get a little sense of what it looks like to write for the Lenten devotional. And it doesn't have to be super long. It doesn't have to be super short. It's just a reflection on the scripture or scriptures that you have chosen. So that is available. And if you're interested in participating, we ask you to sign up on the sign-up sheet and then to follow the deadlines that are listed here in your bulletin to participate with that. The pictorial directories that we did last year, if anyone needs another one, we still have plenty left. Some of them are out in the fellowship hall. If you'd like to pick one up, please do so after worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it. Let us worship God together. Please stand as we worship God together. From the north and south we come. From the east and west God calls us. Over the mighty waters the Lord speaks.
I have called you by name. You are mine. God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence as we pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, yours is the baptism of spirit and fire, but we confess we are not worthy of you. We have failed to bear the fruit of truths, but have been worthless chaff, good for nothing. Forgive our sins, Lord Jesus, and call us anew. See us through every trial, whether of water or flame, that we might give you glory and tell the coming generations the greatness of your redemption. Amen. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
As God's people forgiven and freed, we gratefully turn our hearts and minds, our attention to hear God's word this day. Let us pray together. Saving God, you are the source of our calling. Your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I often take a lot of guff from the music staff around here and others for picking six-verse hymns. If you look at the first lesson today, it would seem to be rather lengthy. If you turn to the Bible, you'll find out that Isaiah 43 does not indeed have 76 verses. We will hear instead 7 verses.
But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, for the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, continuing to verse 22, the story of Jesus going to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. Listen again to God's word. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Christianity, we have this idea of a journey, that is often used as a metaphor to describe our growth and development in faith. The faith in the believer's life. And it's a journey that goes in fits and starts. It's a journey that's not always smooth or rarely smooth. It's a journey that doesn't always go in the same direction. The journey of faith, like any good journey, however, has a starting point. And often that starting point is not recognized until much later. We don't see it as a starting point right away. Today, we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, which is, for little Evelyn, the starting point on her lifetime journey of faith, even though she does not yet know it. That phrase I just used, lifetime journey, may have caught your ear. It might even sound a little overwhelming to you. For many people in 2019, a lifetime journey just doesn't sound very appealing. The journey of a lifetime perhaps has a kinder, gentler ring to it, but dedicating one's life to one journey seems overwhelming and perhaps even a little uninspiring. I heard statistics, for instance, on the radio last week that said the average American employed in 2019 will have 12 different careers over the course of their working life. And this wasn't just talking about mowing lawns and working in fast food as a teenager. This was after education or training or whatever, having 12 different careers over the course of your working life. That amazes me. It also scares me more than a little. I'm not sure how they count pastors in that. But I think that gone are the days of working the same job for 40 or 50 years like our parents or grandparents did, and then retiring with a pension. Why is it that we seem to struggle to stay committed to one thing, to one idea, one job, one person, so mightily these days? Our lives, our culture, our society, they're all full of change. We even seem to crave change in many ways, even if we might not be willing to admit it. Think about the long lines that wrap around the Apple store every time a new iPhone is released. We're so afraid of missing something that might be better that we don't allow ourselves to be content to find joy in our present circumstances. Fred Craddock was one of the great preachers of the 20th century, and he tells this rather strange and amusing little story. I was visiting in the home of a former student of mine, and after a great dinner, the hosts excused themselves in order to put their children to bed. They left me alone in the living room, Craddock says, with the family pet, a large, friendly greyhound. With the family out of the room, I knelt down and started to pet the dog. I said, "Ah, you're a good doggy, a beautiful doggy. How are you doing, Mr. Greyhound?" Fred says, "I swear this part is true." The greyhound turned and looked up at me and said, "I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Thanks for asking." The preacher was clearly taken aback. He'd heard of miracles, but never such a thing as a talking dog. So he asks, "Are you a talking dog?" The old dog barked and said, "Yes, I'm a talking dog. Rather amazing, don't you think?" The preacher said, "That is amazing. I understand that you used to be a racing greyhound." The dog said, "Yes, I was, but I had to quit." Fred says, "You quit? Why in the world did you quit? Did you quit because they didn't treat you well?" The dog said, "Oh, no, they treated me wonderfully all those years. They gave me the best care. They brushed me every day. They fed me the best food. It was great. But I quit." "Did you quit because you didn't like the racing?" asked the preacher. "Oh, no," said the dog. "I loved the feel of the wind in my face." "Well, why did you quit?" asked the preacher. "Was it because you never won a race?" "Oh, no," said the greyhound. "I won race after race. I had lots of trophies, and I made lots of money for my owner." "Well, then why did you quit?" asked the preacher. The dog paused and finally said, "If you really want to know, one day I was running as fast as I could. I was running faster than I had ever run in my whole life. And I caught up with that rabbit, and I discovered that it wasn't even real. All my life, I had been running around and around in circles, trying to catch something that wasn't even real." At his baptism in the River Jordan, as Jesus is coming up out of the waters with John, the heavens are opened, according to what we just heard in Luke's gospel. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him, descended upon Jesus in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice comes from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry as a peripatetic rabbi, a journey that would culminate some 3 years later at his crucifixion in Jerusalem. Have you ever wondered if Jesus knew how his earthly journey would end? As he emerged from the muddy waters of the Jordan, did he know then and there what was coming, arrest and trial and crucifixion? And if he did know, what a choice he made. Well, of course Jesus knows what is coming. How could he not? In the Gospels, if you read them carefully, you see that Jesus frequently speaks about his coming death. And just as frequently in the Gospels, Jesus' disciples don't understand what he is saying, or they dismiss his words as being too depressing for polite conversation. "Jesus, you're scaring the women and children. Stop it." Shortly before his arrest, Jesus says to his followers, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour." It is for this reason. Jesus knows the reason for his earthly life. It is to redeem the world and to reconcile sinful men and women to our Creator by his own death and resurrection. That is an overwhelming journey of faith. It's no wonder that Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled." And when he prays in the garden, it is no wonder that he sweats great drops of blood. And when he prays in the garden, it is no wonder that he says to God, "Please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He prays to his Father. That is the essence of the Christian faith, the essence of all our journeys of faith, to be able to say truly and wholeheartedly, "Not my will, but yours, O God, be done. Not my will, but yours be done." Those are the words that we must learn to say. And is that difficult? Yes, extraordinarily, because we are strong and willful people. And is that overwhelming? Yes, absolutely, because we are also weak and easily overcome. And is that exciting? Yes, more than we could ever imagine. When life is difficult, when it threatens to overwhelm, we have the promises as the people of God, promises made in baptism for us to hold on to. We have these words spoken so long ago through the prophet Isaiah, God speaking to his people in a different time and in a different place, but words that are just as much for us today. We heard them a few moments ago, but now thus says the Lord, "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." You are mine. Just think about those words for a moment. Think about them. And now try putting your own name in there. Think about putting your own name in there. He who created you, he who formed you, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's how God speaks to us. That's how God loves us. God adopts us and makes us partakers of his kingdom, heirs to the resurrection. Paul puts it like this in his letter to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." And this is the really important part. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If we listen carefully, we can hear the echoes of God's words spoken at Jesus' own baptism. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And just as God did that day, he pours out the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives, the gift of God's very presence in us on all the days of our journey of faith. God loves us as his children. He says that we are precious in his sight, every bit as precious as little Evelyn is today. Today marks the beginning of a new journey of faith. And it's also a reminder for all the rest of us that we are on the same journey upon which Evelyn is about to embark. She is just starting. The rest of us are all in different places. Some of us have been on the journey for a long time, and others have taken considerable detours. Many of us are not anywhere near where we expected to be. The truth is, no one really knows where your journey of faith will take you in this life. But when we follow Jesus, we know that we are not chasing some fake rabbit around a track. We're following the Son of God, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," who said, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," who said, "Let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for to such belong the kingdom of God." We're following Jesus, who said, "Lo, I am with you always." Always. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we continue our journeys, we know that you are with us. Help us, Lord, to always feel your presence and to know you are near and to listen and to heed and to follow you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Together as the people of God, let us affirm what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as we gather in worship and as we gather in prayer, we remember our brothers and sisters here in Carlisle at Second Presbyterian Church. This morning, their new associate pastor, the Reverend Donna Christopher, is being installed in their worship service this morning. And Debbie Madden is part of the installation commission from Carlisle Presbytery, so she is worshiping at Second Presbyterian Church this morning. That's why she's not here with us today. So we remember our brothers and sisters as they begin a new chapter in their ministry. Let us pray together. Eternal God, you call us from many different places to come together as a community of faith, to worship together, to pray together, to bear one another's burdens, and to rejoice with one another. And we give you thanks for this call, O God, and pray that we would be able to hear it more and more clearly in our lives. We give you thanks that in the name of Jesus Christ, you gather us together this day to remember Christ's own baptism and to give thanks for our baptisms as we celebrate the baptism of the newest member of our community of faith. We give you thanks, O Lord, that you have called little ones into our midst. And we pray, O Lord, that in the days and weeks and months and years to come, that little Evelyn may grow in her faith, that she may know you and know your presence in her life. We pray, O God, that she would know you and that you would be made real to her, just as you are made real to all of us. As we gather this morning, Lord, we are mindful that there are many who could not be with us today. We are mindful that there are those who are afraid to come out in this weather. We are mindful that there are those who have to work because of this weather, clearing roads and taking care of loved ones. Help us, O Lord, to be grateful for all the work that you give us to do. And help us, Lord, to do our work in a sense of joy that we remember that you have called us to the places where we are in our lives. We remember this morning, O God, those among us who need your healing touch, for those who are sick in mind or body or spirit, and we pray, O God, that you would be with them. We remember those who are grieving today. We pray, O Lord, that you would come to them in the midst of darkness, that you would shine your holy light and help them to know and to trust and to remember and to find joy in the resurrection which you promise to all your faithful people. This morning as we gather, O Lord, we also rejoice with those who rejoice. For Lord, it is so easy to weep with those who weep, but we also remember how important it is to rejoice and to give thanks with those who are celebrating. In all our days, O Lord, as you have walked with us, continue to walk with us and to help us remember and to feel and to know your presence in our lives.
For we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, himself, who came here to walk and live among us and teach us a new way to live, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We now have the opportunity and the privilege to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life as the ushers come forward to receive the offering. Together, let us pray. Eternal God, you are the source of all we have and are. You have sent Christ to save us. We commit our lives to serve him. Your Spirit abides with us as counselor and guide. We offer our actions to be led by the Spirit's call. The waters of baptism are a sign of your forgiveness.
We dedicate our talents as symbols of faithfulness. May what we bring prove worthy of your benevolence to us. Amen.
Hear these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. They were bringing unto him also their little children, that he, Jesus, should touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, saying, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to him. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament. Do you desire that Evelyn should be baptized? If so, say, I do. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? If so, say, I do. Through baptism, we enter the covenant God has established. Within this covenant, God gives us new life, guards us from evil, and nurtures us in love. In embracing that covenant, we choose whom we will serve by turning from evil and turning to Jesus Christ. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say, I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ, accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, say, I do. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, say, I will, with God's help. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your spirit hovered over the face of the deep waters, calling forth order and life. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the River Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your spirit by the baptism of his own death and resurrection. Christ set us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. From it we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit to move over this water, that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it. Raise them to new life and graft them into the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, that they may have power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, says the Lord, my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed. For you, little one, Jesus Christ came into this world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered the agony of Gethsemane and the darkness of Calvary and cried, at last, it is finished. For you, he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. For you, he ascended to reign at God's right hand. All this he did for you, little one, though you don't know it yet. And so the word of Christ, the word of Scripture, is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. Amen. I understand you like to face out so you can see what's going on. Yeah. What is this child's name?
Evelyn Noreen.
Evelyn Noreen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wade and Rachel, your daughter now belongs to God in Christ. From this day forward, she will have a home here, a place here in the Christian community, and there will always be a place for her at this table. Tell her of her baptism, all of you, and unfold to her the treasure that she has been given today, so that she may know and remember that she is baptized. And as she grows, come to make her own response in faith
and love, and come in due time to share in the communion of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And welcome to this ministry. Each time we celebrate a baptism in the Presbyterian Church, we hear these words, "Let us remember with joy our own baptism." Most of us do not remember our baptisms because we were baptized, like Evelyn, as an infant. We might have some old pictures, a framed certificate, a bulletin from that day, but no real memories. But that doesn't change the fact that we are baptized, called and claimed by God as part of the covenant of faith. Today, during the singing of the closing hymn, you're invited to come forward and to dip your hands in the water of the font, to take a small stone from the font, to carry with you during this coming year as a reminder of your baptism. We'll come forward as we do during communion, and you can take a stone and return to your seats by the outside aisles.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Ever-living God, in your mercy, you promise to be not only our God, but also the God of our children. We thank you for receiving Evelyn this day by baptism. And we thank you for calling all of us to remember our own baptisms. Keep her always in your love, just as you keep us in your love. Guide her as she grows in faith, just as you have guided us all these years. Protect her from the dangers and temptations of life, and continue to protect us as well. Give wisdom and patience to her parents to guide their daughter in the way of Jesus Christ and the faith of the church. Give us wisdom and patience also as we continue on the journey of faith. And in the fullness of time, bring Evelyn to confess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and to be his faithful disciple with us to her life's end. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.